What a throne it is of a merciful God that loves us unconditionally, for a faithful Father that there for us continually. And Lord, just even worshiping you this morning, Lord, that you are so worthy of our praises, Lord, not just of our lips, but of our lives, Lord, the way that we live our life for you. And your grace to adopt us into your family and to set us amongst the princes of your people. And to continue to walk with us and to guide us through this life, we're just beyond blessed, Lord. And I pray today that if need be, that there be renewed appreciation and gratefulness in our hearts, Lord. And I pray, Father, that we wouldn't just settle for be Christian in name only, but that we would truly be your disciples and that we would live a life that brings you honor and glory. So today, Lord, as we open up the scriptures, as we're here together, Lord, and we're just sitting and we're ready to receive what you have to speak into our lives, Lord, I just pray, Father, that the word would go into us, that it wouldn't be merely academic, but that it would be transforming. And Lord, no matter where we are, Lord, we know that you are looking to continue to mold us and to make us more like Jesus. And we pray today that you'd use the beauty of your word to do that. It's living, Lord. We know that. May it have great, fresh, and new life in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to be in Mark chapter 5. That's where we were a couple weeks ago before I went on vacation. Just a typical day in the day of the disciples, right? They go, we got fishermen on board. I could see if the tax collectors were nervous, but the fishermen thought they were going to die in this storm that they were in. And it wasn't like a Jonah storm. It wasn't a storm because Jesus said, go north and I'm going south. But it's a storm of being obedient. You know, just being obedient to what Jesus said. Hopping in the boat, going to the other side like he said. And all of a sudden, what happens? Boom, adversity. And I think that we need to make sure that we're allowing the Word of God to reveal to our heart what it truly is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Because it's not a walk through the rose patch, it's a walk through a war zone. And we're going to see that today. So one of the things that I think that we've got to see is they come out the other side of the storm and they're just so blown away that they said even the winds and the waves, they obey him. You know, that weather patterns, we're under the authority of Jesus. Why? Because he's the creator of weather patterns. So we see Jesus' authority here, but now we're going to see the authority of Jesus Christ, the sequel, part two. They're going to go from storms to warfare with a temporal time of peace. And I think in our lives, you know, we're looking for that exterior peace in our lives, but a lot of times we got to recognize that sometimes exterior peace, it's short. It's little short glimpses that we get here. God's looking to give us an interior peace. You know, the peace like Isaiah says, you know, that he'll keep our minds in perfect peace when our minds are stayed upon thee. Paul wrote about a peace that passes understanding. Peter said that we could cast all our cares on him, for he cares for us, because we're going to have storms of adversity and we're going to have spiritual warfare that's going to come against the lives of people who have chosen the path of a disciple and those who want to live their lives for the honor and the glory of our King Jesus. So that's just kind of a prelude of what we're walking into here today. But I believe what we see here in this glimpse at the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5 is that Jesus Christ is our authority. And we can be thankful for that. We can be so thankful for that. Because he can still the storms in our life, and he can also win the battles in our lives. And as we think about that today, I want you to think about this, because we're looking, if you're new here, man, you came in a great week, man. This is going to be nuts today. We got 20 verses to look at this demonically possessed individual that's just out of his mind, but this is the reality of what's going on in the invisible realm all around us. So as we look at this, let's jump into it here. We're in chapter 5, I hope I told you, Mark 5, verse 1. And they came over to the other side of the sea. You know, that's a big thing. Why? Because Jesus told them, let us go over to the other side of the sea. This is one of the things that we need to realize. We could skip over this real quick, but what you got to realize is that God's promises are true. God does not have the ability to lie, Titus tells us. So you can put trust, you can put absolute faith in the promises that he's spoken in your life. Jesus says, in the book of Isaiah, it says, if I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass. He told them they were going over, and if Jesus says you're going over, you're not going under. They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit. Now the other gospel writers, out of the four gospels, three of them give an account of this. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all give an account of this, okay? And you got to remember that when Scripture gives an account from different angles, it's just basically like if three of us saw a car wreck and we wrote about it, we would all pick up of different things that pierced our heart, you know? But one of the things we need to realize is that behind these human instruments is the author of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and what's the Holy Spirit say? The Holy Spirit says what came out of the tombs was a man with an unclean spirit. One of the things we need to recognize is we need to see things the way that God sees things. The first time you see the word man mentioned in the Bible, it says, let us make man in our own image. That was the design. We are to be the image bearers of God. And what do we see here? We see the effects of what the curse and what the enemy has done to this individual that God created to have fellowship and God created to have purposes in his life. So this guy comes running out. The other accounts, Matthew tells us he was exceedingly fierce. Nobody could even pass that way. So that was like an area you didn't want to go into. Luke says that he had devils for a long time. He comes running up to him. He's naked. He doesn't have any clothes on. He's got no home. He's living in a graveyard. Mark's going to tell us that he's unchainable. He's got this supernatural strength, but the Holy Spirit says this was a man. And I think sometimes we need to recognize the way that Jesus saw things. And a lot of the things that we see, because, you know, maybe we're going to see here, this guy was just a crazy, maybe you want to call him a freak. I mean, maybe you want to call him just a nutcase, whatever you want to call him. And maybe you got one of those people in your life. But you know what? With Jesus Christ, there's hope. And with Jesus, he has the ability to change lives. So they come running up, and now I'm thinking, now they come out of the storm. This is the day in the life of a disciple, right? Right out of a storm, man, I thought I was going to die, and it's, oh my goodness, here comes this supernatural Hulk dude running down the beach, bare naked, screaming and shrieking, man. Nobody will even go there, and this is where Jesus has got me planted, you know? So, I mean, you think about what these individuals went through. You know, I'm thinking, you know, if that's me, you know, I'm going to get that oar in my hand. I'm going to find a reverse switch on the oar, man, and I'm out of there. They could probably hear him screaming as they were kind of getting near the shore, like, Lord, you sure? I think maybe God's closing a door in this direction. But, you know, if you want to go, that's okay. But what they do is they come really, one of the things I think we need to focus on is they come, you see the heart of Jesus. I mean, I'm so thankful for the heart of Jesus. And you see them, they're coming into something that Jews would really consider to be unclean. Okay, in this area, this is Gentile land, first of all. There's a pig farming business there. Graveyard, if you touched a dead body, you'd be unclean. So it's very unclean. But you know, I think sometimes we need to recognize as God's people is that we're called to unclean environments sometimes. That's what Jesus did. He entered into a place that nobody else would. Why? Because there was a man there, and that man had great value. That man was incarcerated by the enemy in his life, and Jesus was going to do something about it. And you know, sometimes we look at things that are unclean, we look at people's lives, and we got to be able to see beyond the repulsion. I mean, this guy we're going to see, he was cutting himself. You know, he's probably had dry blood all over him, probably flies all over him, probably hadn't had a shower in maybe years. We don't know, matted hair, the teeth, whatever. But Jesus could see out beyond all that. He could see beyond that to the treasure and the value behind all those repulsive things. And I think for us as God's people is that we've got to see people for who they are and the potential of what they can be. And we've got to be willing at times maybe to enter into things that are a little repulsive, a little unclean because of the value of things that are there. Now, you think about it right now, one of the grossest things I own is a septic tank. You can't get me near that thing. I mean, it's disgusting. That's unclean, you know. But if all of a sudden my little daughter, Raina, fell in that thing, I'm doing a swan dive into the septic tank because of the value that little girl holds to me. That's what would get me in there. And I think that's the way that we have to see people out there, because people are living unclean lives. They're far from purity. They're getting involved in things they shouldn't be getting involved in. But nevertheless, we've got to see beyond that to the value of who these individuals are. You look at this, a man, he was a man, but he started as a little boy. What happened in his life? People have stories behind them. You know, all of a sudden, you know, you see these things that are going on in their lives, and then all of a sudden you hear about what happened to them in their past. It's like, wow, no wonder. You know, there's a connection sometimes. Everybody in here has a past to them. And some people in here have some deep wounds that no other people know about. But what happened in this little boy's life? You know, maybe he grew up in a normal home. Maybe he had good parents, I don't know. Maybe he started dating the wrong person, and that person got him into the occult. We don't know. You know, maybe he had a horrible upbringing. Maybe he was a child in sex trafficking or something. Maybe he got involved with witches or whatever. Who knows? But somehow, this guy's life was infiltrated by the enemy. One of the things that we need to recognize and we need to remember is that there is a spiritual battle that is waging all around us. The devil wants nothing more today than to keep us blind to the reality of what he's trying to do all around us. Scripture repeats it over and over and over. We are called to fight the good fight of faith. We're told that the weapons of our warfare are mighty. We're called to endure hardness as a good soldier. Ephesians 6 says we've got to wear the armor of God. We need to know the wiles of the devil. We need to not be ignorant of his devices. That's what the Bible says. So we recognize that when we study the scriptures, that we can't see it in the invisible realm, but there is a spiritual conflict that is waging continually, and we need to live in awareness of that. I'm not saying we need a fixation with darkness or the devil or anything like that, but we need to know our enemy, and we need to know that he's out there. But you know what else we need to do? We don't need to fear our enemy's tactics. We receive peace because of our Lord's authority. We've got great authority in Jesus Christ and what he's doing. So he's got this guy, right? He's a man. He's got unclean spirits. And you know, unfortunately, it says here, he had his dwelling amongst the tombs. No man can bind him, not even with chains. So basically, you know, maybe the specialist went up there to try to incarcerate him, and they come back, maybe to his family, we've done all we can do. There's nothing more we can do. And it's so sad, because you know what we see here? We see a spiritual issue, and people are trying to deal and help a spiritual issue by physical means. You know, and I think today, you know, the enemy's alive and well, and he's got great influence over people's lives, and he can possess people. And I think how often, you know, we want to try this, we want to try that, we want to try that to try to help them out. But you know what they need to try? They need to try Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the one that's going to bring deliverance, and we're going to see this at the end of this chapter. You know, bear with me if you've heard this story before, but you know, I had one encounter with a lady that they had a demon, and maybe you've heard this. I'll try to keep it short. But back when our ministry started, we had the coffee shop, you know. This lady came in, and you know, I don't know what it was, but she walked in, and the whole room went down 15 degrees. And she was kind of nice at first, but things got really weird. So, you know, there she was creeping all the kids out. She's creeping me out. So we had this bathroom in the back, and you always knew whether you had to knock or not, because if the light was on, because there was an opening under it like that. So all I had to do was look down, lights off, nobody's in there. So I had to go to the bathroom, so I go walk into the back of this coffee shop, nobody's back there, and I'm going to go to the bathroom, the light's not on. I open the door, and she's standing there like that, man. I didn't have to go to the bathroom no more. But So as the night went on, it just got worse and worse, you know, creepier and creepier, man. She just started to shut down. So all of a sudden, praise the Lord, you know, for deliverance, her husband shows up. I don't know how he found her, but thank God he found her, you know. And they go carrying her towards the door. She didn't want to go, man. He had to pick her up physically, carry her, man. And I'm telling you, she hit the door, and it was like throwing a cat in a bathtub. Her feet and her hands latched on the door casing, and with all the Christ-like authority I could, I peeled her fingers off and locked the door. Bye-bye. That's like my one and hopefully last encounter. So if you got a demon in you today, go see Harley. So we see here that, you know, there's this supernatural strength. You know, you've been bound with these fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and they couldn't tame him. You know, here's the bottom line. This guy could break the physical chains in his life, but he couldn't break the spiritual chain. And look at this. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying. That word in the Greek literally means shrieking and screaming. Okay, come on. You got to put some skin on this, right? We got cemeteries around here. Guy running around naked screaming, okay? Whew. We'll take the long way around town, right? So, I mean, it's a very sad situation here, but it says here, look at this, and he's cutting himself with stone. The word there in the Greek is katakoupto, and it literally means gashing or hacking himself. What does the enemy want to do? The enemy's influence is always to bring self-affliction. We have cutting issues today. We have suicide issues today. These individuals are under satanic influence. I'm telling you what, right now, if you're sitting here today, maybe you're on the web, that if you're suicidal, if you're looking to hurt yourself, I'm telling you what, right now, you're going to ruin the plans and the purposes that God has for your life because you're believing a lie and not believing the truth, that you were born to be saved and walk in fellowship with God and find a contentment in the purpose that He has ordained for your life and that you'll be received into His kingdom someday, His utopia that we're going to be a part of. And if you don't believe that, you're believing a lie. There's a lot of people out there that are hurting themselves, and behind it is a satanic influence. We see it even, you know, you can go back to the Old Testament, the prophets of Baal. Remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal? He says, hey, where's your God? Going to bath, he's gone, man. He's listening to you. They get up there, they're cutting themselves, and there's blood all over the place. Because if you're not following the true God, Satan has influence over your life. So he says here, and when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran. The other accounts say that he fell down and he worshipped him. Not out of worship, like love and gratefulness. Worship out of acknowledgement that this authority is greater than me. That's the kind. The Bible says every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we see a preview of it here because eventually divine truth will be revealed to everyone. Everyone will admit divine truth someday. And this is just a preview of it. And he says here, verse 7, he cried with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that you do not torment me, that you torment me not. The other accounts say that you don't torment me before the time. These are individuals who are in Satan's camp, and you know what they know? That there is ramifications for rebellion. And see, that's what we need to know today, because you know what? You're not going to see, like, you're not going to probably see much of this in your life. But the devil's at work, but he's found better tactics to do. What the devil does now, you know, not that this couldn't happen, not that people couldn't be possessed. You hear situations like that from time to time, and I believe that the devil still has the ability to possess people. He possessed Judas. But what he does now, he's kind of done something that's way more beneficial for him, is that he brings people into your life and they preach a counterfeit Jesus. Or they put people or graduate people from seminaries that preach a counterfeit gospel. It's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible that created you, died for your sins, and that there's no other way to the Father and into heaven but through the forgiveness by the blood that He shed on Calvary and us putting our faith in Him. It's just do your best and God will understand. That's not the gospel. The Jesus is that the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons bring to your door. That's not Jesus Christ. Not our Jesus. So He produces these counterfeits. But He says here that, for He said unto him, verse 8, Jesus speaking now, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. You know what Jesus does? He calls out the unclean, doesn't He? Look, you don't have a demon in you. Well, if you do, you got me fooled. But I don't think any of you have a demon in you. But you know what? The enemy, Satan, isn't our only enemy to make us unclean. We got a world that wants to make us unclean, and we got flesh that wants the stuff that's unclean. And the faithfulness of Jesus Christ as we walk with Him and as He communicates with us is to always call out the unclean, because He wants us to keep ourselves pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And it's a continual cleanse. So we see Jesus do this here. But, you know, 1 John 3 tells us that for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Okay, let's go back to Bethlehem. You know, it's not December 25th, but we go back to Bethlehem for this purpose, the babe in a manger, to go to a cross, to leave behind an empty tomb, three-year ministry, right? To destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came, to destroy the works of the devil. We've got people, we've got pastors, we've got ministries that don't believe in the devil anymore. Jesus believed in the devil. Matter of fact, he booted him out of heaven years ago. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy. The word luo in the Greek, it literally means to release, to set free that which was bound. It's a picture of Lazarus when he came forth from the tomb, Mary and Martha's brother, you know, and they were told to unbind him. It's a picture of the bent over woman that Satan had bound. It literally means to release and to free. Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, to release and to free. How thankful are you to be released and to be freed? Well, I'd never be that. Well, maybe you wouldn't. But who knows what you would be without Jesus? I don't want to think who I'd be without Jesus. He came into my life, crucial time. Wish he would have hit me a little earlier, but that wasn't his fault, it was mine. I'm just thankful he was persistent. And he asked him, what's thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Okay? I think he's asking the man the question, and the demon's answer. Legion, that's 6,000 in a Roman army. I'm not sure how many exactly was there, but he introduces himself as Legion to Jesus. But what do we see here? He answers for him. You know what the enemy does? He comes in and he tries to steal our identity. Because our name is connected to our life. He calls him Legion. Really, he was a son to somebody, a friend to somebody, possibly a husband and a father, but not anymore. If you will, go to John chapter 10 with me for a moment. Here's the bottom line. Two influences over a life. It's either the enemy or Jesus. And it's not like people, like anybody who's not following Jesus is going to be all possessed and all that. And also, you know, sometimes people can be underneath enemy influence and be very moral. They can think that their works are good enough to get them to heaven. They can be very kind. But this is what John tells us in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Isn't that what he's done to this individual? Somehow there was a gateway, I don't know. I want to warn you today. I think one of the greatest things that can open up your life to the enemy is the occult and drugs. Those are some of the greatest things that can open up your life to the infiltration of the enemy. He wants to infiltrate, he wants to isolate, and then he wants to terrorize. But that's what the thief comes not but to steal, right? Stole this guy from the life God intended for him to have. To kill, that was eventually what he wanted to do with this individual, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Paul wrote to the believers at Philippi, and he said, I pray that your love would abound more and more. It's a Greek picture of a river overflowing its bank. He wrote to the believers at Rome, and he says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you might abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what God wants to give us. He wants to give us the beautiful things he tells us in the scripture, the fruits of the Spirit, but he wants us to have it in an abounding way, where it would just be overflowing in our lives that other people might be able to get blessed by. You know, there's no way a born-again Christian can be possessed of the enemy. Greater is he who's in us than he that's in the world. But I'll tell you what, if the enemy can't infiltrate your lives, what he wants to do is destroy your purposes. He wants to get you discouraged. He wants to get you oppressed. He wants to get you isolated, and he wants you to throw in the towel on serving God and living for his glory. That's what he wants to do. Jesus told Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you by name that he may sift you as wheat. In the Greek, actually, he'd asked for all the disciples. And there's a great sifting that he'd like to perform in our lives. He wants to annihilate the purposes that God has for your life. But the bottom line is, I think the wisest thing that you and I can do is to live under the authority of Jesus in our lives. I don't address the enemy. I don't address him at all. I call upon my Savior. I call upon my Savior no matter what's going on in my life. But that's what James tells us to do, right? He says, submit yourselves unto God. All right? So what is that? That's like living my life under his authority. All right? And his authority is revealed to me by what the scripture says. All right? That's his will for my life. The will of God is found in the word of God for us as God's people. So as I submit myself, therefore, unto God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. What does that do? That keeps me off the devil's menu. Okay? You might watch other people. I've seen other people, unfortunately, man. Satan, like a roaring lion, he seeks who he may devour. And I've seen people, because they've come out from underneath the the lordship of Jesus Christ in their life, and they started calling their own shots, and they started living by their own rules, and they started doing their own wants. And then sometimes it might be a slow process, but then eventually the enemy's gotten a hold of him, and he's shaking the life right out of him. It's a sad place to be. It's a place you and I don't want to be. So he besought him much that he would not send him out of the country. The other account in Luke says that he wouldn't send him into the deep or the abyss, the place where Satan will be incarcerated for 1,000 years that we find in Revelation chapter 20. That's where they did not want to go. It's going to be a better option to enter into a herd of pigs than to go to the abyss. Okay, these guys knew the future forecast of their life. They knew where they were heading. And for the Christian, these things are written that we might know we have eternal life. I mean, that's the blessing of knowing the future. They knew their doctrine. Now, there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. All right, Jesus didn't command them into there. He permitted them, though. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and they ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. I heard so many corny jokes on this. I'm not going to repeat one because I love you. They were bad. But it says here, and they that fed the swine fled, told it to the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and they saw him that was possessed. Past tense. Think about this. This guy had a reputation in the area. People wouldn't even go in his area. People avoided him. He was possessed with the devil, and had legion, the legion. And he's sitting, and he's clothed, and in his right mind. Can I be honest with you? We live in a day, man. People are getting screwy. People are flaking out. I'm not just talking outside the church. I'm talking inside the church. Go to Romans 12 with me. But what people from the town, in the other accounts say the whole country came out. So this is a mob of people coming out to see what had happened to this former lunatic. And this is what they saw. He was sitting, clothed, in his right mind. The other account says, at the feet of Jesus. We serve Jehovah Jireh, don't we? The Lord our provider. Praise the Lord, he's our provider. But you got to see that beyond the material. You got to see that in all areas. And I'm telling you, the place that God has provided for me, where I want to stay, is the place of sanity in this crazy life. And it's the feet of Jesus. Romans tells us here, to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, that word renewing, it's a renovation which makes a person different than in the past, okay? Our mindsets are continually being washed by what the Scripture says, and it's having an impact of who we are. God's taken us from glory to glory. There's a process of progressing to greater instruments of glory. Paul tells us in Romans that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Philippians 4, there was a problem with a couple people in the church. Paul writes to them and says that they would be of the same mind in the Lord. Philippians 2 says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. It builds a fortress of unity in our lives. But the Holy Spirit wants to take all this information and produce transformation. That's why we're here. That's why we read the Bible. We don't read the Bible for facts and figures. We read the Bible to encounter Christ and to be embraced by Him and to allow Him to mold and do whatever He needs to do so that we can be what He's called us to be. Maybe not what your spouse wants you to be or your friends want you to be, or definitely not what this world wants you to be, but what He wants you to be. So what's God provided for us? He's provided a place of sanity in this crazy life, and it's called the feet of Jesus. Having our mind renewed by the Scriptures. Me and Harley have had this conversation. Hey, if I get a little wacky, will you let me know? He doesn't let me know yet. He's lying to me. Back in Mark, we're going to finish up here. Paul tells us that we haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So glad I don't think the way I used to. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And the response, here's the response. And they began to pray him, depart out of, leave, depart out of their coast. The other account says it was the whole country. Why? Because we want our unclean business. We don't want Jesus. You see the parallel in the United States of America? We want our porn industry. We want our alcohol industry. We want our drug industry. We don't want Jesus. And you know what? God's going to answer. He answers their request here, and He's going to leave. He's going to answer the request of here too someday at the rapture. When that trumpet blows, everything about Him and everyone that's filled with Him is out of here, and then they're going to have what they want. And when He was coming to the ship, he that had been, past tense, possessed with the devils, prayed Him that He might be with him. Albeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, look it, go home to thy friends. You know, he's like, I mean, it's a wonderful request, and Jesus denies it. Sometimes we have these wonderful requests, and you just got to accept the fact that if they get denied, then God's got a purpose for it. I heard one time this woman, her whole dream as a child was to be a missionary to China. It's all she wanted to do was go do missions in China. But then she had some health thing that came up, and she was not allowed to go to China. So she went on to become a very successful businesswoman, and she actually supported, I think, hundreds of missionaries to China. So God knows what he's doing. Her request got denied, but God still used her, and he's going to use him here. So he doesn't allow him to go. Albeit Jesus suffered him not, but he said, go home to thy friends. All right, this is the beauty. Now think about him coming home. You know, they didn't have him back then, but you know, there probably was restraining orders, you know, if it was these days and everything. And this is a beautiful picture of restoration. God's going to restore the years that had gotten devoured from his life with these relationships that Satan had isolated him from. He goes, go home and tell thy friends how great things the Lord hath done for thee and have had compassion on me. You see, we all got a story. Yeah, well, I got saved when I was young and I always walked away. I don't have much of it. That's a wonderful story. That's a Daniel story. If you got that, some of you, your story's a little bit on the wilder side, you know? But go and share it, because what it does is it causes people to connect with us. You got to remember the way that unbelievers view believers sometimes. They just think, you guys are better than us, whatever. You know, you're just Jesus freaks. But if they know, no, one time I was where you are at, I'd understand. It's a place of connection. It's a place of identification. Could you imagine this guy running down the road? If he had, mom, dad's home, locked the doors. I don't know if he brushed his teeth yet or took a bath, you know, or if he just went home with dried blood all over him, you know. Great things the Lord had done. Hasn't the Lord done great things for us? Those are the things we're called to share. Look, he didn't lay out the Romans road. Well, the Romans road didn't even exist then, but he just said, hey, go and share what the Lord has done for thee and show compassion on thee. You know what? In a few chapters from now, Jesus is going to go into that very region. You know what? And he's going to heal the deaf. He's going to cause the blind to see. Or the person that couldn't speak, he's going to give them the ability to speak. And you know what they're going to say? He has done all things well. I mean, what this guy's doing is he's really plowing up the ground for the seed of who Jesus is and what Jesus is going to teach to take root in that area. And it was an area of 10 cities. That's what Decapolis means. Daka, 10, follows city. So he departed and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And look at all men marvel. You know the fruit of really appreciating the touch of Jesus on your life? You just respond to what he tells you. You respond to what he asks you. That's it. Why? Is it a have to? No, it's a want to. Why? It's out of devotion. It's out of appreciation. This guy just wanted to be with Jesus. That's it. That's it. God had touched his life, and he just wanted to live his life for the rest of his days for the honor and the glory of Jesus. Do we? We got to ask ourselves, do we really? We don't want to become just churched people. We don't want to just go through religious motions or anything like that. We want true living, continual encounters. We want to remember what we once were so we can appreciate what Christ has done for us so that we can connect that with other people. I once was where you were at. I understand what you're thinking, but let me tell you what he's done. And don't let the enemy, you know, discourage you by, well, there's so many things I don't know. All you got to do is share the things you do know. One individual said, all I know is I once was blind, but now I see. That's what Jesus did for him. People need to hear our story. And when they hear our story, it builds a bridge of connection. And when they see Christ in us, it takes down walls that have been built. And then it eventually builds a bridge where we can share the gospel with them. So, Father, we want to come before you this morning and we want to just appreciate and say that we're so thankful that you came down here and you manifested yourself, that you would destroy the works of the devil. Lord, the devil had works in our own lives. He had us blinded before we met you, before you came into our lives. But we look at this individual and I just pray, Father, that you'd keep the heart of the church very sensitive to things that are out there and people that are out there, that maybe they're very repulsive in personality, repulsive in lifestyle, that we'd be able to see beyond that, to see that they were created to be the image bearer of you. Lord, you looked on him and you had compassion. Your words exhorted us to have compassion. I pray, God, for open doors for each one of us, that this very upcoming week, we'd be able to live our story of redemption and share our story of redemption, that you give each one of us a door, maybe multiple doors, that you'd slow us down, that we might be able to see your hand in our daily life. to see the eternal opportunities that you want to invade our busy schedules. I pray that you bless your people with peace today. God, you put these things in your word, not that we would have fear over our enemy, but that we would have peace knowing your authority. We thank you that you're a life changer. We thank you that you're a curse breaker. And I pray, Father, that you just continue to meet with us, Lord, in our hearts, and that you would continue to take us from glory to glory. Oh, Lord, if there's anyone here today or some people here today, and it's been a long time since they've been clothed in their right mind and at your feet, Lord, that this very week, that this very day, that this very moment, that would change in your people, Lord, that we would find ourselves more at your feet, in your word, having our mind renewed, that we would be able to have your perspective on this life, to see the potentials that are out there, Lord, and to have a place of sanity, Lord, that our minds would be stayed upon thee. We bless your name, Lord, the name above all names. We ask, Lord, that you just receive this last worship song, that it wouldn't be sung just from our voice box, but that it would be sung from our heart that has been redeemed because of the blood that you shed for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand.
Keep in your mind, there's a war that's waging. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And if you have an eye to see, you can see the ramifications in the physical realm, what's going on in the spiritual realm. God's going to want to put us into contact to help people meet our Savior. Wear your armor. We need our armor. Ephesians 6 talks about our armor. The enemy's going to aim at you, your heart, your mind. He's going to try to sow his lies into your life. Condemnation, discouragement, and oppression. Refuse it. And wash your mind and your heart with the word of God. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. God bless you. Have a great day.